Well, hello, dear listeners, and welcome to another episode of the Light of the Hidden One podcast. What you're about to hear is a conversation I had with Ash Tomlinson of the Two Worlds Apart podcast, and actually I think he was supposed to be interviewing me, but we were both pretty tired, and actually we had a few technical difficulties, which I do apologize for in advance. Going forward, we'll have to choose a more stable platform with which to do this. But he's a great guy, a really amazing guy. He's actually the father of five children, which is quite a task in itself. And he's very involved with the business community here in Perth, particularly those businesses which are involved in being conscious businesses. And not just that, but a few other business organizations that he's also involved in. He is, in fact, a builder and a great guy with some great spiritual insights, which he shares somewhat in the conversation that we have. And it's really, the whole conversation really brings home to me the necessity for us at this time, those of us especially who are awakened and in the awakening community and the awakened community. Those of us, our need to find our spiritual legs and to put down our spiritual roots and get a center so that we have stability, so that we can moving forward, begin to build a new world for ourselves and our children, and perhaps our children's children and their children and the generations to come. Perhaps even that we build a parallel system, one which is on the outside of this system and this world and this current paradigm that we find ourselves in. And that we come outside of that paradigm so that we can build something better, something that acknowledges freedom, where we as freedom-loving individuals and awakened and aware individuals can begin to go forward, creating a world that we really truly love to be in, a world that gives us joy and a world and a system that acknowledges and values and cherishes our rights that we have from the Father and our freedoms so that we can have a world that is future-proofed, as it were, because we can all see that the kind of corruption and criminality that permeates our current polity, our current systems, all of our institutions, the huge amounts of infiltration by a corrupt, rather self-serving group of people does not bode well for our society as a whole, and we're probably on the edge of some pretty severe economic and financial crises, which will only be worsened by the sorts of things that these people have done and are doing. And no doubt that's part of the plan. But we also can move forward with our own plans so long as we're able to hold true to what is really dear to us and we're able to find that calm place inside of ourselves where we can operate from a place of profound freedom internally, so that we're able to dodge the punches and stand up for ourselves in the right way and be able to find our way forward. And we all know that there are many ways to do this. And one of the main ways, of course, that I can think of is that great quote, which I'm going to bastardize just like everybody else does, by Marcus Aurelius, the last of the five good emperors and Stoic philosopher: the obstacle is the way. Of course, that's not what he said, but it's a pretty good simplification of his three sentences. So that being said, I hope that you will enjoy with me my conversation with Ash Tomlinson from Two Worlds Apart podcast, which you can find on Spotify, which reminds me, I need to get on Spotify. Light of the Hidden One episode, Coming Out of Babylon.
Okay, so tonight we are going to have a good conversation. I can't wait. And my next guest, David from Light of the Hidden One podcast. Can't wait to have a conversation with you, my friend, because we've been waiting for this for a few days, so and we've got some questions we want to ask each other. And I think this is going to be a really good podcast. Now my kids are in bed too. I get a bit of free time just to, you know, zone out with you. So tell me a little bit about yourself, David.
So I'm actually a qualified hypnotherapist. And my phone's going off. It will choose this moment to do that.
You are now under the spell. That's cool. I never knew that about you. So you're a qualified hypnotist.
Yeah. I'm not really practicing as a hypnotist at the moment, but I am. Yeah, I'm a hypnotist, I guess basically come from the sort of the NLP school of hypnotherapy and more that sort of version of things, more the what they call the Ericksonian style. And I'm also a priest, albeit in a very tiny little church, a very esoteric church. And I guess those two things, they don't necessarily go that well together. There's a bit of an anti.
I get that sort of in my own mind now. I'm just kind of like, I feel more connected if I am maybe not a part of a church that necessarily, you know, has a certain message, when I think you can get connected going directly to that higher entity or that God, and bring that person directly into your life, or not even a person, but bring that energy into your life. So, and the whole esoteric history, and you know, I'm a beginner, but it's just so interesting and so fascinating. So I'm sure
aren't we all?
Oh, we're all beginners, yes, on this cosmic egg. They call it.
Absolutely. I don't necessarily see eye to eye with all of the officialdom in my church, but the church is sufficiently liberal enough that there's still a place for me.
That's good.
And even though they don't like the idea of hypnosis being combined with the church, there's just Blavatsky wrote a bunch of stuff about how bad hypnotism was in the 1880s or the 1870s or something, and everybody thinks, oh, Blavatsky can do no wrong. Everybody in my church, that is, thinks Blavatsky can do no wrong, and Blavatsky got everything right, and if Blavatsky said it was so, then it must be so. And of course, the type of hypnotism she was talking about was a very different kind of hypnotism from the more modern versions of the thing, and she's talking about something that really has more. She says that mesmerism is okay, but hypnotism is bad, and a lot of the stuff that I do really is mesmerism more than what she would have called hypnotism. But you know, this is a thing. The problem is you get a bunch of people and they like to follow rules, and once they have their rules, they get stuck to them.
That's so interesting today's day and age as well. With the current social framework or environment that we're in here in Perth in Australia as well, and I'm just like really okay with listening to everybody's theory on things, you know, like I'm very open to what it is we live on, how do we get here, what civilizations existed, what groups were formed, how governments were formed and things like that. So I'm quite open-minded, you see. So that's why I was really fascinated to learn your theory on, you know, what is it we live on and the whole
so what is this world? That's a good question, actually. What's a question I have been trying to answer for many lifetimes. going right back to the very early days, when we were on this world, when we were in this world, and I've always been interested in finding out, you know, where we are, what this place is. But I think the best description from my perspective is it's a school. That's what this place is. It's a school. The the world is a school, and we come here, I believe, willingly. I don't think we're here imprisoned or anything like that. I think we come here willingly, and we come to learn. And it's a long process, a very long process of learning. It takes many, many, many lifetimes. And some of us learn reasonably, you know, some of us have learned quite a lot relatively fast, and others, they still haven't learned the most basic stuff.
Do you think, David, people get lost? They just get completely, do you think people just completely get lost in, say, more of the material world, and they actually forget about almost why they came here?
I do think people get lost. I think there's this wonderful Jewish rabbi. I can't even remember his name now, but he said, I really have to turn that thing off. It's really annoying me.
Mr. BP.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Like, why?
You're so
why
popular.
Have I got these
you are
things?
So popular. God, David.
Oh yes. How popular am I with my phone continually going off with Telegram messages that I don't even want to watch, that I don't want to look at. So where were we? We're talking about forgetting why they're here. And a lot of people, I think, there's this Jewish rabbi, obviously, or rabbis tend to be Jewish, don't they? There's this rabbi, and he said, okay, so you come to this world and you've got all this gold and silver and jewels and stuff, and you brought it with you from, you haven't come to this world. What happens is he talks about, you arrive on an island, the island is this world. You arrive on an island and you come with all this gold and jewels and all this stuff that you've brought with you. And, you know, the boat drops you off and you turn up on the island, and it was wonderful. One of the wonderful gold and jewels, and got all these wonderful things that you've kind of come with. And you get out onto the island and you start meeting people. And pretty soon they say, what's that crap you got? What's all that rubbish that you're carrying around? Oh, look, it's my gold and jewels. It's all of my, all of this wonderful gold and silver and jewels and my riches. I say, oh, we don't deal with that stuff here. We deal with these onions. We deal with onions. And so pretty soon you learn that onions are the thing. And so, you know, and you kind of put your gold and silver and your jewels away, and you go out there and you make sure you get a lot of onions, and you fill up, you know, you fill up your house with onions, and you fill up your, you know, you've got onions everywhere, and you got, and by the time you're ready to leave the island, you're just absolutely full of onions. You got all these onions, and you just, you know, and you've completely forgotten about your gold and your jewels and all that sort of stuff, but you've got a lot of onions. And then, of course, you can't take the onions with you. You can't take the onions with you when you leave, because they won't fit on the boat when you leave. Obviously, you can take your gold and silver, but you've forgotten that you even have it. You know, it's sort of sitting in your it's, you know, sitting in at the bottom of your backpack or something, and you've completely forgotten about it. Anyway, you get on the ship, you go back, and you go back to where you came from, your home, and people look at you, oh, the smell of you and your onions.
Yeah.
And so it takes a little while for you to get the smell of the onions off you. So this is the story by this rabbi, and he's basically saying, you know, the world is a little bit like this island where this land where everybody's into onions and they don't know what the gold and jewels are, and it's because what they're surrounded by is all these onions, and I think that's a reasonably good metaphor for what happens in this world. I mean, it's not exactly, it's not completely brilliant, because
no, it's a cool
obviously
story,
there's another side to this, which... go ahead.
You know, like when you look inside to your mind sometimes and you're like, okay, like do you ever like just, can you ever like figure out the absolute kind of, okay, well, this is how it all started, you know, obviously being into esoteric religion and kind of ritual and sort of that history, like is anything that you like, you know, from your research and your years, you just look at and you go, yeah, you know what, that all sort of links and makes sense, like, because for me it's like multiple theories come together and then it sort of creates a picture and I go, okay, well, yeah, I'm kind of like at that, you know, that's kind of what I'm happy with, what I think that we, like, where I think we came from, maybe what we live on, etc.
Yeah. Ooh. Definitely. I think that, so, I mean, if we go right back to the beginning, I grew up in a church which has a Trinitarian sort of doctrine. So, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Dude, that's so interesting, man. Because, like, for me, that is, like, I don't know. I've just got this thing at the moment with Trinity. Trinity, you know, atom, you know, proton, neutron, electron, the Holy Spirit. You know, was it the Father, the God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit or something? Anyway, you go.
Yeah, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Father, Son, Holy Spirit is the but for me what that boiled down to is so in the beginning there is consciousness. So in the very beginning there's nothing, but the kind of nothing which is real nothing is everything. So you can't have real nothing unless there's no outside. And if there's no outside, then it must also be everything. So nothing and everything must be the same thing. So this nothing everything is obviously also consciousness, because if it's everything as well as nothing, then it's consciousness. So this consciousness, this consciousness, for whatever reason, and we don't need to know why, but this consciousness turns. It makes a movement, a first movement. And when it makes this first movement and it makes this turn, it can only turn towards itself. So it turns towards itself. And as it turns towards itself, it creates an image of itself. Because in turning, it, like the yin-yang thing, you know, the Tai Chi symbol.
Yeah, 100%. Yin and yang. Yin and yang for me is
Go ahead.
I'm all about yin and yang. Like, I'm all about yin and yang, like 100%. And it's interesting because I've heard this thing that Carlos actually talks about, and he talks about how, like, energy is conscious.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Energy is conscious. Anyway, when the consciousness turns towards itself, that's the Father, the invisible Father or the secret Father, and it turns towards the image of itself, which is the Son, because the Son is called in the Greek. Awesome. When they were referring to the Son of God, they called him the Eidolon. And the Eidolon is the image.
Sorry, I have to excuse. Did you get all that? My children woke up, so I've told them to go sit on the sofa. Anyway, I'm back
into it.
It
happens.
That's what happens, mate. When you're a father of five, children, you know, like the whole timing aspect.
I believe you. I believe you. I've only got the two.
Crazy, bud. But anyway, as we were saying.
But nice. But so nice. Yeah. What was I saying? So yeah, the father turns towards the. So initially, there's only consciousness. Consciousness turns towards itself, and in turning towards itself, creates this image of itself. Because as soon as it turns towards itself, it's wanting to know itself. So as it wants to know itself, it immediately, in that turning towards itself, it immediately sets up a thing where it creates the image of itself, and that image is that image is the they call it in Greek the eidolon. It just means image. So Jesus is referred to as the Eidolon. The
dude, shut up, guys! I'm doing something. I don't know what I'm doing, but don't say anything.
Oh gosh!
I should just say to him, guys, I'm talking about, like, how the hell everything happened in the beginning and how we got here.
I finally heard them. That was the first. I just finally heard them. So before that, I couldn't hear them. Your directional mic is awesome.
It's good.
I can't hear anything except what's coming out of your mouth. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Good. I wish I had a directional mic like that. I'm pretty sure you could probably hear virtually everything in my house at the moment.
That's pretty good.
But so anyway, turns towards the and turns towards itself, and that's the Father and the Son. But the Holy Spirit is the thing that allowed the turning to happen in the first place. Because if you can imagine, if all is consciousness, then in order for the Father to create an image of the Son, there has to be something that allows, you know, the consciousness has to create an image of itself. It has to have something that allows it to do that. So you can either think of the Holy Spirit as kind of the principle of division or the principle of turning.
That's so interesting for me, David, because I think in my mind, you know, almost that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it could be like an analogy for anything, really. You could look at it, you know, some people obviously have theories on that it could be referring to planets, you know, and then you say about the Spirit, Spirit could be energy, plasma, you know, again, you know, some people say that we live in an electric universe. I just heard a podcast with Novak Djokovic talking about how he just believed that we're all electricity, and do you know what I mean? So
absolutely yes, I know what you mean. the Spirit is if that Spirit is the thing that allows that first division to happen or that first turning to happen, then what happens when that Spirit then recombines the Father and the Son over and over and over and over and over again? You eventually get, first, so you have this initial three. The three, when they combine, become eight or seven, depending on which way you want to look at it, or ten, if you separate the first three out and you have all of the combinations as another seven or eight. And then from there you go down through creation down to everything that's created, and it's all a creation of the Holy Spirit. It's all basically the Holy Spirit. So all of the atoms and all of I mean, if you believe in atoms, which I don't really believe in atoms, I think that much of what we consider to be atoms is just the measurements of
maybe like consciousness or something.
Let's call them knots in the ether.
Yeah, ether, because they say ether is obviously makes up a part of the earth, right?
Mm. The ether for me is the stuff through which light travels and electricity travels and magnetism travels.
Yes.
So the ether is, the ether is like a four-dimensional, from our perspective anyway, it's a four-dimensional. It's the four-dimensional world. The etheric world is the four-dimensional world. So, and it's also what light travels through. I think it was 1871, these guys did an experiment where they apparently proved that ether didn't exist, but the problem was their experiment was bunk. Their experiment didn't take into account... Their experiment didn't take into account...
This is Leo. Say hello, Leo.
Leo? Hello, Leo. Hello. Hello, Leo. Hopefully,
he heard you in the end. No. And I think he was quite fascinated.
Good. Yeah. Good.
It's so awesome. Interesting. So back to ether. Like, you know, they say ether is possibly, you know, like plasma. Ether, plasma is like it can be different forms and things like that. You know.
Yeah. Ether is ether. Ether just means it just means stuff. So that's what the word means. It's a Latin word. I think it's Latin, a Latin word, and it means stuff. So it's the stuff that you don't really that they also used to call it prima materia, meaning the first matter. It's the matter that underlies all of the matter that you can touch and feel and see and stuff. So that's the idea in the ancient world was that, which I believe they had a good handle on this stuff because they used to, I sort of believe that we have been a spacefaring race in the past, probably several times over. And we made mistakes when we were a spacefaring race a few times, I think. So we've definitely been out to the outer planets of the solar system before. I mean, we've actually lived out there, is what I'm getting at. Not that we've sent out probes and stuff, but we've actually lived out there. And in fact, I believe that I'm fairly
that's super interesting.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying how super, like, it's so interesting to have this conversation.
Well, that's cool. So what I was saying about the ether was that in 1871, see, originally people thought that the light traveled on ether, and there were these people called etherists and there were people called atomists, and the etherists and the atomists didn't get along. And basically the atomists, whoever it was, they set up an experiment where they proved apparently that ether didn't exist. It was called the Michelson-Morley experiment. And the problem was that the way they set it up was they set it up because they had they set it up with the wrong model of the ether. So the model of the ether was a fixed rigid ether that they could measure using rectilinear motion. They could measure using linear motion. And in fact, if the Earth is turning and it's a sphere and the whole solar system is turning, you know, it's turning like this through space, then probably the ether is also turning, and the planet would probably be pulling the ether around with it, because the ether and the planet are not really separate from each other. Mm. The planet is made from ether, and the planet will have a wake of ether that it's pulling through. And in fact, there's a guy called Georges Sagnac that pretty much showed that there is ether, you know, in a few decades later, after relativity had already come out, which basically disproves relativity, basically puts Einstein, gets rid of Einstein's relativity, special relativity and general relativity. But Georges Sagnac's experiment, his very famous experiment, has just been called an anomaly. And so it's this anomalous experiment. But it pretty much shows that, yes, there is ether. And the ether that that people believed in, that was what they called luciferous ether, which means light-bearing ether, the ether that bears light, is...
Well, they say that Lucifer is the light-bearer, right?
Well, that's what the word means. It's Latin for light-bearer. So yeah, they do say that Lucifer is the light bearer, and so luciferous ether is the light bearing ether, and when they came up with this idea of disproving ether, they really wanted to make it so that people wouldn't pay any attention to Tesla, and people wouldn't, you know, and they didn't want to admit things like the electric universe, and you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff that it basically. It stopped people from being
man. The electric universe is such a beautiful theory.
Yeah, what do you know about the electrical universe? Because I don't know that much about it.
Well, I listened to a couple of podcasts on it, but one in particular that got me was on Sam Tripoli, the Tinfoil Hat. So I've just been listening to that podcast for probably 3 years, and just awesome. Just get so many good guests on there. But I listened to. Yeah, one guy that went on there, I think he's an English guy, and he had just a beautiful articulation of what he and how he saw the electricity and everything to do with, you know, space and what space was actually made up of. And just interesting, so interesting, connected to obviously your chakras and your spirit.
Tell me more.
Yeah, fantastic research for anybody. Just super interesting, you know, like... he believes that obviously the creation was made through, Saturn, I think, and Jupiter colliding to create what it created. But then over time, beings basically captured the, I guess, universe that we're sort of in. And so they say they believe that it's sort of like a captured universe where, you know, Earth is also connected to the planets and so forth, you know, but it just does actually, it revolves around Earth because Earth was created through electricity and the atoms. Just super interesting. They've got different, you know, they talk about like different types of plasma. So, you know, that's where you get the northern lights and so forth. So they're more like light reactive and something else, like different types of electricity. So lightning would be like, lightning would be, you know, classed as a type of electricity or plasma. So
yeah, okay, I get what you're saying.
What do you think?
Well, I don't know much about. I mean, I guess there's all different versions of the electrical universe. I mean, the idea that everything is electromagnetism is something that appeals to me.
You know what I was thinking, right? So, you know, like the Egyptians, they say that, you know, like from what I've kind of been interested in reading, it's, you know, the Egyptians obviously talk of the sun god. And I just feel like they were obviously a civilization that had maybe a different bodily makeup, number one. And then the other thing that interests me is, you know, looking at them thousands of years ago and saying, okay, what technology did they have? What power did they have internally that they tapped into?
That's a really deep one.
Brother. That's deep.
I think that, so, my religion comes from Egypt, essentially. Christianity, particularly the version of it that I practice, comes out of Egypt. And I mean, it doesn't all come out of Egypt, because obviously there's a significant Syriac school as well, and we're all descended from the Syriac schools. But there's something about Egypt is pretty special. In Judaism, Egypt means perdition, and it also means this world. But that's because of how it's referred to in the Bible. There's this other side to Egypt, which is that, you know, it's the legacy, I believe, the legacy of a much higher civilization. And the reason I believe that is because of the Great Pyramid. Not so much the other pyramids, which are also quite astounding, but the Great Pyramid is really, it's something that's actually beyond our own engineering ability today. Like we could not build the Great Pyramid today with all of our technology that we have. There are things about that Great Pyramid that are really, really special. It's not a four-sided pyramid, for example. It's an eight-sided pyramid, but you can't see the eight sides except on certain days of the year. And the Egyptians, I mean, I think maybe by the time...
He's thirsty.
I think maybe by the time they were... maybe by the time they, you know, we know about them, they'd lost pretty much all of their, you know, they'd lost most of their good stuff. But I really think that the Egyptians, yeah, I think they had amazing powers. Yeah. And I also think that Egypt was at one stage, it was the real center of the world. It was the, you know, it was the, you know, the place it was the place where the world was, it was the center of the world. It was the center of the world. And the world was run from Egypt, essentially, the whole world. I don't necessarily think that the whole solar system or anything was run from Egypt, but the Egyptians had this legacy that they went back to, and it's possible that Egypt is, you know, even older potentially than what we currently, you know, might call Atlantis or some of these other very high civilization ideas that we have about, you know, where we came from and what we did and that sort of thing. I don't know about their bodies. I don't know whether they had different bodies from us or not. Like,
yeah, I mean, you know what? We've probably been lied to about pretty much everything. So, but you know what, man? I'm just super grateful that basically I'm here right now, regardless of what happens. You know, even in Australia, the restrictions and the, you know, the things that are going on in society, is very hard, and but I'm ultra grateful to be here to experience it, I think. And you know, I've always got this, yeah, this higher self, this higher sort of belief of a higher entity that's, you know, like you said, you know, they're giving us this game, and they're saying go out there and play it, sort of thing. So yeah, I mean, no one said it was going to be easy, did they? You know,
no one said it was going to be easy. It's a funny thing. It's a funny thing, Ash. I mean, I don't really know. I mean, everything we've been talking about so far has all been, it's all been very intellectual. You know, it's all been sort of, you know, stuff that, okay, so there's bits and pieces that I've read and you've read, and, you know, we've talked to this person and that person, and there's all this kind of verbal stuff that we, you know, that we pick up from different people. And, you know, and then maybe even we have our own experiences, like, you know, our own, I don't know if you've ever had a past life experience where you've, you know, you know, you know, you've had experiences of your past life. But
yeah,
you have.
Well, I've had you know highly charged coincidences and things where that run through your mind, and you know that that landscape's been covered before, you know.
Yes, okay, I'm with you. Yeah, I know what you mean. That sort of, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that could be a past life, or it could be you've done it at a higher dimension, or, you know, in a higher dimensional, or a higher plane. Let's call it a higher. You've done it already in a higher plane. Go ahead.
It could also be like, you know, like, well, I don't know. It could be like visual, like maybe purpose and stuff as well, because I practice a lot of that in the mornings, you know, like visualization, sort of looking at future purpose, you know, so a couple of things mixed in there.
Oh, so you think that it could be something to do with your own conscious, wish to fulfill, you know?
Yeah, it's like, you know, when you decided it's you like when it. You go, ah, oh, it's like when you go, you say to yourself, oh, I feel like I've done this before, you know, or like you, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, well, it's almost like, yeah, yeah, like almost like when you visualize and then, like, you know, 5 years later that actually comes true, you know. So, well, maybe that's more of like a deal with the universe, yes, like that connection.
Oh, is that God? I love that. That's like, so
what
good.
Is that? You know? Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. That's such a great thing. It's such a great, you know, take on things. I love this idea that, you know, you visualize something happening and you put it out there.
Yeah.
And it finally comes back to you. It finally comes back to you. I mean, I haven't really got anything like that. Perhaps I shouldn't say that. I do have some things like that, but they're more things I did by accident, you know, as opposed to things that I really wanted. I just put a lot of attention and energy into certain things and, you know, put them out there in the universe, and I ended up with things happening in the universe that maybe I didn't, you know, they're unanticipated consequences.
Yeah.
of my visualizations.
It's like karma. Just hits you.
Yeah. It's kind of,
like, have you ever had a experience, you know, when you're like, I don't know, you've done something, like, you know, obviously a bit naughty, and you've gone, oh my God, you said to yourself in your mind, that's definitely, you're definitely going to get bad karma for that. And then the next thing you know, it boom, hits you, and you're like, you see what I mean? It's, you got to live life karma.
Oh, I definitely, yes. I get that a lot.
Hilarious.
I can't do anything wrong without getting hit for it pretty quickly, pretty immediately. Some people can get away with these things for years. I can't get away with anything. I just, you know, I think when you reach a certain stage in your development, you, you have to be careful. you have to be careful of the things that you do, because they, and it may also be just because you're a bit more sensitive to the to the fact that these things are consequences of your actions. A lot of people go through life hating the world, and never think of themselves as being part of the reason why. Why the world is so hateful.
So sad, man. Like, honestly, yeah. There's just not necessary. But then you go, well, is it necessary to get to where we have to get to consciously?
I do think it's necessary. And there's that old saying, the fool that persists in his folly will eventually become wise. So I guess that these people that are persisting in their folly have to persist in their folly. Until they get it, until they get that it's folly. So, and I mean, we all persist in some kind of folly, we're all.
Yeah, nah, I know, man. I know, like, no one's perfect, it's all about learning. And like you said, Earth's like a school, and we make mistakes, we learn from our mistakes, and it makes us a better person.
Yeah, a better person. Also, it allows us to graduate eventually. Okay, so I'll tell you what I really think.
Okay. Cut.
Okay. Yes. I'll tell you what I really think. Okay. So I think that we go through the motions of growing up and believing that we're adults and, we go through a life and we're born and we learn how to walk and talk and all this other stuff. And, we go through all of these amazing things. And we, we grow up, we marry or maybe don't marry, have children, maybe don't have children, but let's say we have children, eventually grow old and we die, or we die sometime before we grow old, whatever. But that's not who we really are. That's just what we're doing. That's just what we're here to do. And we're here to get, learn how to get along with each other, because in reality, we're not adults. We're little babies. We're little children. And in the real world, we're little children, and we spend most of our time sleeping. And when we're sleeping, we're here. So this is our dream. Mm. This life and the life immediately after this life are our dream.
So interesting.
And when we're done with these two lives, we wake up, and then we're back in the real world.
The real world.
The dreams that we have here. Yes, the definition of the real.
Absolutely.
You remember from The Matrix?
Yeah, I know.
Welcome to the dissolution of the real.
Dude, I love all the Matrixes, hence why my podcast is kind of along those lines, like step into the Matrix kind of, society. Anyway, I try to have a giggle at myself.
Yeah. So yeah, I think eventually we wake up. I also think you can wake up here. Like you can learn how to go to the quote unquote real world from here, and you will discover that you are just a small child. Mm. You are just a you're just a baby, and you're a baby who's been carried around for millions of years.
Mm.
Millions of years doesn't really make sense in the real world, but from our perspective here, it would be millions of years.
Yeah.
We have been carried for millions of years by a parent who loves us more than you could possibly imagine.
Yeah. Oh, man.
In the same way that you love your children.
Wow. Well, I don't know. I don't know, dude. That's debatable. That's very debatable tonight. Like, honestly, I just can't believe how much boys cry. They cry and cry and cry at everything. Like, and the girl is fine. She's just, you know, doing her thing, all good. The boys, man. And they just, oh my God. But I like absolutely love them. Like, I have times where I'm just, I look deep into their eyes and I just, you know, it's just so pure. And they're good kids, you know. They're into their sports, they're into nature, they look at the clouds, they appreciate the environment, they go to the ocean. Like, they just want what's best, you know, for them, really, which is to eat sweets, basically. So
definitely eating sweets are I'm a bit spoiled. I've got, you know, because I've got two girls, I don't have boys, and I know that if I had boys, it would be different. It would be different. I know I'm spoiled. I mean, I was one of two boys, and I had a sister as well. Obviously, I was one of three, but there were two of us boys, and that did not make life easy for my parents at all, you know. So I always had this thing of, you know, I wanted to have a son and stuff, but I was also kind of happy if I didn't, because I knew how difficult it would be. But anyway, you know, you love your children, you know, you can't help it. You know, as soon as they appear, I mean, when they come into the world, you know, you don't, like, I mean, it hit me with a ton of bricks. You know, I had no idea what I was opening myself up for until my children came along. And then all of a sudden you know what this what permanent love is. You know what it is to have that permanent love. And it's not like it's different from what you expect. It's so different. But that's the kind, so that permanent love that we experience here is not really the same love as our parent in the real world has for us. It's not really the same love, but it's a reasonable image of it, you know. Because it's like okay, so I'm speaking from personal experience, right? So this is not stuff that I've read. This is stuff that I'm speaking from personal experience. It's like you are the most important being in the whole universe to this, and you can feel it. You know, you can feel it and you can see it because it just emanates from this being that is your parent.
Super interesting, because the way I look really at that as well is really 100%, but it's crazy. But it's like when I go down to the ocean and then I practice a ritual in my mind of entering the water and then being at one with, say, the movement of the energy in the water and so forth. And then you look at the sun and the sky, and when you're sort of in that mindset, for me, very positive, like almost like, again, like you said, a motherly brace to say, you know, Ash, everything's okay. Like, there's a higher force here, you know. It's just, man, I love it. I'm addicted to it. Yeah.
What a great feeling.
It's good, man.
Feel like I've got it.
They should be promoting this on the news.
Go down to the beach and become one with the energy of the ocean.
Get some vitamin D.
Something to that, you know.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
yeah. Know. Yeah, vitamin D is good. Vitamin D.
It's good for you, right? I thought it was always good for you, but I mean, like, the last couple of years, not that good for you.
Yeah, vitamin D is just about the most important vitamin you can have. It's just about it. It's,
yeah.
They say, or Cliff High says, I don't know whether whether I don't know whether everything Cliff High says is correct, but Cliff High says that it's used in over 3,000 different processes in your body. So you got 3,000 different processes in your body use vitamin D. So you need that. You really do.
So good for you.
Yeah, so amazingly good for you. And yes, definitely over the last couple of years.
Oh God.
Crazily good. I don't know. I think the embrace of the great mother or whatever it is. So that's the Holy Spirit. I heard this, right? That's from
the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
I mean, from my perspective, that would be the Holy Spirit. All that energy stuff, all of that, you know, water and the ocean, and I mean, that's the Holy Spirit.
Well, dude, I feel very pleased then, because get to experience that most days. You know, it's either me or my missus. We take turns, so she'll go one morning, I'll go another, and you know, just so she gets that, you know, experience as well, where she might just go and do some affirmations and do some journaling and then go in the ocean, or you know, I might go for a run and then do some journaling or something, but always involves a coffee, obviously.
Yeah, it's nice when you can be so close to the ocean. I mean, I don't live close to the ocean, so I don't have that
you should come with me sometime. Actually, come with me, David, get your trunks on, mate.
I should you know, until, and you know,
you can experience God. You can experience God, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you can. Why not? Why not? I'm happy to go and experience God in the ocean. Well, I mean, I never wanted to live next to the ocean until I heard you talking about it. So,
yes, I can sell the sizzle. That's for sure, for the ocean. Me and the ocean have got this agreement, you know. It's like, you promote me, I'll promote you. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I can do that.
It's cool. Yeah, I do love, I mean, and the funny thing is, right, that everybody's been out swimming the last few days except me. I've not been swimming. I've been too busy working on my, trying to make my bots work, trying to make sure that I have a trading bot that does the things it's supposed to do. So,
interesting. Hey, yeah, definitely a bullish market at the moment, I think, crypto world. Yeah, I think crypto is just, it's one of those things. It's like, it's been a long time coming, but everything's connected to, you know, what's going on a global scale, on multiple onion kind of levels, mm-hmm. or onion peels, as you say. You know, just the crypto market at the moment, it's almost like everybody, I feel like, in the world is trying to like manipulate the wealth to make themselves set up for kind of like the new age. So crypto is very bullish, very bullish.
It's a funny thing. Yeah, there's a lot of people that are trying to manipulate things for their own selfish gain. Yeah. And I'm not trying to manipulate things for my own selfish gain. I'm just trying to survive. That's all I want to do.
Yeah, I know, right?
Get to the other side of this transition in one piece.
That'd be cool. Do you know what? That'd be really cool. If anyone's listening out there, including the universe, could you please make that happen? Thank you.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be good, especially considering where we live, where the crazies are still in charge of things.
Just disappointed with that. Like, I'll be honest with you, man.
It's
kind of disappointing, but
just think about how it was in America and how it was in the UK, say 6 to 12 months ago, and that's where we're at now, I guess. You know, we're basically in the real, and I really hope that we can people wake up to themselves and realize that the thing was a scam. But I don't think that's going to happen until we go through something similar to what they've gone through in, at least to what they've gone through in the Eastern States.
It's super interesting. Hey, it's almost like, does it like happen this way for every part of the world to sort of wake up? Like, what is it? You know, it's just interesting. And I think it's just such a special place. Like, it's a blessed place.
Well, it is a blessed place, but unfortunately, it's also a very sleepy place.
Yeah.
That's the problem with blessed places, is the more blessed they are, the more sleepy they are. So, unfortunately, I think our...
We're all democratic, you know, libertarians. That's what I kind of thought. You know, like we just...
Yeah, I used to think that too.
Everyone likes to go down the beach and... Yeah.
But it's amazing.
Maybe that's just how I think, I don't know.
It's amazing how many people capitulated as soon as they got put under the the kibosh, and they just rolled heaps of my friends and stuff, you know.
Yeah, it's just hard because, you know, like even myself, like I like plants, you know, so I believe in a more natural way, and if you get COVID, you get COVID, you deal with it, and then, you know, in my mind, you're sort of immune to it really because you've been through the process, and you just, you know, get back to health, and someone like myself would just get back and do some exercise and, yeah, just take care of your body, you know.
Especially Omicron, which for people like us is a common cold, you know, effectively. So, I mean, there may be, you know, those poor people who have gotten themselves boosted and, you know, various other things, you know, or probably, you know, double jabbed or whatever it is. I think that those people are going to experience, you know, their experience of Omicron is not going to be like our experience of Omicron. You know, if we were to get Omicron, it would be nothing to us. Certainly that's the way it's been everywhere else in the world. And all the people that are vaxxed that get Omicron, they have a much more serious, it's much more serious for them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, while it...
They're just not honest with everyone. Like, the propaganda is just, like, out of this world. Like, I mean, we don't have a TV in the house, you know, just for that very reason, is because we kind of just want to be more focused on stuff that's going to help our family grow, you know. And, like, it's just the propaganda is just... It's not required. It's more... you know, it should just be more pro-choice, you know.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And not this sort of social kind of sort of like taking the heart away from people a little bit, you know, and sort of just demoralizing them when they're just, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean,
very, like you said, sleepy people, very peaceful people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there's here we are with here we are. I mean, the one thing that I will say about the situation is that it's all happened because we're living in Babylon, you know. Like, this is the thing a lot of people don't realize. I mean, you're saying earlier about Egypt and Babylon, and well, we are currently living in Babylon. This is Babylon. This world that we live in right now is Babylon, in the sense that the system that we're under, you know, where people are, where people feel like they're forced to, you know, take the jab because they need to in order to have their job and stuff. This is Babylon. This is what Babylon is. Babylon is this financial system that screws people screws people down. In fact, the Romans, you know, because I don't know if you know much about Revelation, but when John the Divine wrote Revelation, he was writing it about now. He was writing it about now, but he's also writing it about Rome of the time. And Rome at that time was Babylon. The Roman Empire was Babylon because they used to say that the Tiber flowed into the Euphrates. The Tiber flowed, meaning that what had happened is Rome had been taken over by these Babylonian people, because the Romans brought in all these slaves so after Alexander conquered the Persian Empire, he took a bunch of slaves into the Hellenic world, and those slaves eventually, after the Romans took over Alexander's empire, or took over half of it anyway, the Seleucid Empire, they took all these slaves back to Rome, and these Roman slaves, these Babylonians, as they were, they ended up they ended up being freed on the different masters' deaths, and they ended up becoming patricians. And so by the time you get out to the first century, Rome is practically being ruled by Babylonians. It, like, more than half the patrician families are of Babylonian ancestry. And so by the time you get out to, when John of Patmos or John the Divine is writing his Revelation, he knows full well, just like everybody else does, that Rome is being ruled by what they considered to be a corrupt elite who were Babylonian. So when John says come out of Babylon, he's talking about getting out of the Babylonian system, which is a debt slavery system. The Babylonians came up with fiat money. They're the people that actually came up with fiat money originally. And they had a jubilee system because every time they got out to 50 years, their jubilee just means they sound the trumpets. So they'd sound the trumpets. When they got out to 50 years, they sound the trumpets, and that meant that all the debts were forgiven. And they'd have a jubilee on debt jubilee. And it's funny because we're about to have this.
Isn't that what they're talking about, like, now?
Yeah. Yeah. We're in Babylon.
That's
dude. We are in Babylon right now. The Great Reset is their jubilee. You know, their debt jubilee that they want to, and it'll be a debt jubilee that they want to foist on us to keep us enslaved. Well, to take the slavery that's a debt slavery and turn it into real slavery. Because the Babylonians love slavery. They all of their systems worked on slavery. All of their, I'm not saying that the Babylonians corrupted the rest of the world with slavery, but the rest of the world had already been corrupted with slavery in some cases. But the original Roman Republic was not a slavery system originally. As it got more and more corrupted, it became a slavery system. And the same thing with all of these these groups. The Saxons, had a thing about you can't be around people that own slaves. It's not even that you can't own slaves yourself. You can't be around people that own slaves, and you can't even be around slaves. They had this thing because they'll corrupt you. And yet, those same Saxons ended up being the people that bought and sold slaves across the Atlantic. So everybody gets corrupted to a certain extent at some point. And it's what do you do when how do you come back from that? How do you come back from that world? And so that's why in Revelation, John says, come out of Babylon, come out of Babylon, so that you won't be, subject to her plagues. You won't be subject to her difficulties as she disappears in a single day and night. We need, in my view, to come out of Babylon. We need to, which means we need to come out of that debt slavery system. And crypto is one way to do that. It's one way. It's not the only way.
No. No, definitely. I agree with you, but, it's certainly because I think I read like maybe a couple of years ago, like something about how Amazon's headquarters like resembled completely the Babylon building. Was it Amazon or Apple or someone? And I think like those guys, I'm pretty sure, like definitely go back to that era, the way that their mindsets are, So their families and stuff, Bezos and
He even has one of those names.
There was something like. He was like, I'm going to build the best Babylon building and it's going to be my headquarters. Like, it's perfect timing right now. It's the same as with him. When Aaron was going to space like 6 months ago, and then he came along and launched his giant size penis rocket into space. Oh my God. It looked hilarious. Like it didn't even look real. So, hey, do you believe that there is like, what's your take on the, what's your take on, they say, what's it called? The dome in the Bible, what they call it?
The firmament, I think is what you're referring to. Is that right?
The firmament. Yeah. Okay. So yes, absolutely. So what's your take on the firmament from your
Firmament just means it just means the sky. That's all it is. It's just the sky. It's like it's actually firmament really is the ether. So when they talk about the firmament, what they're really talking about is the ether. They have the same meaning. Ether.
Yeah.
You know, firmament and ether have pretty much the same meaning. So I know that there's a lot of people that think that means that the earth is flat, and says so in the Bible, and there's a dome that covers the earth.
How do you know unless you see it? Like, you know, like how do you know? You know, honestly.
Oh, you can.
That's what's so interesting.
Okay, so here's how you know that the earth is not flat and it is in fact round. If you look out to sea one day and you look at one of those container ships, notice that it disappears bottom first, and as it sails off.
Isn't that perspective?
Sorry?
Isn't that because like the human eye and the perspective, like you can't see it, physics?
It's not to do with the human eye. It's because if you're on the beach and you're looking at a container ship, the container ship will disappear bottom first because it's going over the edge that you can see. And if you're higher up, it will take longer to disappear bottom first. That also shows that that the earth is may not be spherical, but is spheroid. Yes, go ahead.
What about if, like, you know there's like maps like 200 years ago where there's, you know, ice going all the way around the maps and it's pretty flat and so forth. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm not like I'm like one of those guys where like 3 years ago I watched something on the news about how these flat earth guys went on there, and I think that guy, you know, that famous guy here, Kyle his name is, he was interviewing them, and I was like almost like looking at him going, oh my god, they are crazy thinking that the earth is flat, you know, like. And then just over the years, like, I've seen more and more stuff that's gone, oh yeah, that's interesting. But what about the theory where, like, you know, there's obviously more land, you know, like maybe we are on like a round ball, but the round ball's bigger than what we think. Do you see what I'm saying? So there's like other terrains, and that's why they say like extraterrestrial, extra terrain, you know. So is there extra terrain, and are we on a bigger round thing?
Yeah, I think that there is. Antarctica is definitely an interesting place.
That's an interesting one. Yeah,
because it's not as ice covered as what we've been led to believe. So that's one of the interesting things about the Antarctic and Antarctica. I mean, the world is a big place. The other thing is that we don't inhabit very much of it. Like, we only inhabit, say, 15-20% of it. We appear to be all over the globe, but in fact we're not. There's massive chunks of wilderness out there that we don't go. And you know, most of Northeast Asia is wilderness. You know, most of the Eurasian Plateau is wilderness. Most of the mountains around Himalayas are wilderness. Big chunks of Africa are wilderness. Big chunks of the interior of South America are wilderness, and big chunks of Alaska are, and the middle of Australia. I mean, who really goes into the Great Sandy Desert? You know, there's a whole.
I know, right? You know, like, hardly anyone, no one's seen it really. Like, we only just assume, you know, or like, how big is this world? You know,
I mean, we tend to drive on roads, you know, like. So if there's a road built, I mean, I know there's guys with off-road vehicles and stuff. You know, my family, we used to drive around in a Land Rover and all that sort of malarkey when I was a kid. But you don't go that far off-road, you know. Like, you don't, most people don't drive, like, you know. So even on, you know, the known land masses, let's just say that there are other land masses that are unknown that we don't talk about. And there might be, you know, there might be. Because we don't go there, it's, you know, it's pretty hard for us to find out. Although, you know, if you know people in places that are close by, then, you know, like, I know people from the Philippines, so I'm pretty confident that there's nothing near the Philippines that's, you know, that's a big land mass in the middle of the Pacific or something. But maybe there is. I mean, who knows? You know? I mean, there's always volcanoes going off at the moment all over the place.
Who knows, man? Yeah, I know, right? And they say about those, you know, with the, you know, like the ley lines, they say the ley lines are connected to the pyramids and pyramids used to charge and energy. And I haven't looked into it myself, but interesting.
Yeah, I love that ley line stuff. I think it's great stuff. I think the ley lines are an awesome, they're an awesome, I do think the pyramids are connected to the ley lines. I do think that the ley lines are some kind of charge. Yeah, you know, there's some kind of charge thing. The pyramids, or at least the Great Pyramid, may well have been involved in I think the pyramid is a machine. So I think the Great Pyramid is a machine. I think all of the other pyramids are also possibly machines as well.
Yeah, man, that's so cool.
You know, machines that used to do everything. You know, imagine a machine that could beam out power all over the world and make everything run, but it could also control the weather, might even be able to make the sun do things, might even be able to... you know, it might even be able to do things to the inside of the earth, might be able to, you know, stop volcanoes, make volcanoes work, might be able to alter the magnetic fields of the earth so that they, so they're more conducive for life. I think the world, I think this earth, I think the earth was, I think the earth was, terraformed. I don't think we originally came from here. I think the earth was terraformed by us, actually. Not by aliens for us, but by us. For us. Because I don't think we came from here. I think we came from another place. And I think that we...
Interesting, hey.
Yeah, I think.
Let us go there again, please. This place is going to be hell soon. Oh, God. Can't even do anything.
I mean, it's
can't even do anything, man. Like, you know,
hell of our own making. Yeah, hell of our own making.
Can't even go.
That's what I'm
can't
saying.
Can't even go. Up. Can't even go. Up. Anyway, dude. No, I was just. I was just going to say it's hard enough in Perth, taking your kids out for dinner and being rejected like a pauper. So, but
yeah, no, it's pretty awful.
It's crazy, man. So, like,
I don't even understand that because the thing hasn't even come in yet. So I don't understand what that was all about. You know, you being, you know, put through that thing. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, they can deny you service. I suppose it's a private business, but there's nothing official, you know, it's ridiculous. Like the thing hasn't even come in and there are all these people jumping the gun. You know, they say, do not, you know, if you don't want to have tyranny, do not comply in advance. And what are all these people doing? They're all complying in advance. It's ridiculous.
And that was right where we lost the connection on the call. Now, we will be getting back together again to do another one of these in the not too distant future, where we can really go into some of these things in a bit more detail. But that will be it for now, and I look forward to getting more stuff done with Ash in the future. Okay, everybody. Thanks for listening. Bye.